Dave, I can't drink coffee anymore. I feel frazzled every time that I do. And I didn't know at the time, but it was a magnesium deficiency where, and I think the magnesium is critical for the nerves, for the myelin sheath. And every time I drink coffee, I would just feel
even fried. The lab-tested bulletproof coffee was causing you problems.
Any coffee.
Yeah.
It didn't matter. It was the caffeine response. It was the stress caffeine response that was just...
Is that your body couldn't handle it. And it turns out caffeine by itself is shown in studies to have health benefits now, which is kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But some people, if your adrenals are tweaked, it doesn't work.
State of high performance.
You're listening to Bulletproof Radio with Dave Asprey. Today's cool fact of the day is that pieces of Earth could actually grow on Mars. And what I mean by that is that scientists have suspected for a long time that microbes in arid places can get their moisture from humidity alone, but no one has shown that dried out microbes can revive with water just taken from the air until now. And bacteria from Washington's state's hot lake began growing after absorbing humidity in a jar, according to astrobiologists from Wichita State University in Kansas. Now, the researchers grew this bacteria in magnesium sulfate brines, and this is also known as Epsom salts, and perchlorates, which are toxic to humans, are the main types of salts found on Mars. And those salts don't keep water molecules away like the normal salt, sodium, that we like, so microbes have a better chance of catching some moisture on Mars. And we've found these magnesium salt tolerant microbes in clean rooms where NASA builds spacecraft. So we might already have seeded Mars with life from Earth. That's kind of cool. Now, would you believe that these same bacteria, they're called Halomonas, can infect humans? They can. So what does this all mean for you? If we're looking for life on other planets, we may have already put it there, which is kind of cool. And if you didn't get my amazing foreshadowing, we might just be talking about magnesium today. You probably missed that one, didn't you? Anyhow, keep listening and you're going to find out it's the Epsom salt kind of magnesium. Today's special episode of Bulletproof Radio is recorded live at the Beverly Hilton here in Los Angeles, which is the home of Upgrade Labs, one of the Bulletproof sister companies that's around creating the experience of upgrading yourself in way less time than you thought you would, using the kind of techniques that you might hear about from Superhuman, my new book that just hit the New York Times list a couple weeks in a row. Thank you so much if you bought the book. If you haven't yet, why are you waiting? This is going to give you decades more life. It's really worth 5 hours of your time to read it, I promise. And the guys I'm interviewing are guys who are not new to the show, but they are in town today for Meet the Hacker events that we host at Upgrade Labs in Santa Monica and Upgrade Labs at the Beverly Hilton. And these are guys who are experts in how to fix and optimize digestion. You might have heard them on Bulletproof Radio episode 515 or 611 when we talked about gut and digestion and how every little enzyme does its magic. We are talking about Wade Lightheart and Matt Gallant from Bio-Optimizers. Hey guys, welcome to the show.
Great to be here.
Great to be here, Dave.
Now, we talked about enzymes. We talked about gut digestion, the prebiotics that you guys make, but we haven't really hit on magnesium. So let's talk about magnesium. I know why magnesium is important because, well, I read about that stuff, but a lot of people listening have probably heard, oh, magnesium's good for you, and that's about it, or take it for sleep. Why are you guys hot on magnesium?
Well, before we get into magnesium, let's talk about stress. And in today's world, a lot of us are experiencing a different kind of stress than perhaps our ancestors, with the rise of digital technology, the massive influx of electromagnetic pollution, and also, I would say, the extension of the silicon brain to our carbon brains, which is causing a massive inflow of data, and of course, the lifestyles that we're living. Combine that with the shifts in the last 100 years in food production and food distribution, which is radically altered, and we solved the calorie problem and then created a nutrient deficiency en masse, and particularly in North America. What happens is one of the stress responses is that you actually burn out a lot more magnesium out of your nervous system. And the other factor is it's a food element that is involved in over 300 different reactions inside of the body, including a lot of magnesium.
It's vibrating.
You know what I like about this? Is that right in the middle of the show, your cell phone starts vibrating when you're talking about stress from digital devices.
And it's kind of neat, right?
I've got this new chip in my head that lets me see people's heart rate variability, and yours just dropped by 12 points.
I believe it.
Well, yeah, you know what? The thing too with technology is, you know, these dopamine hijacking systems, which is what Facebook and Instagram and all of these things are designed to do, create this stress response. So, you know, just to back up what Wade was saying, you know, the technologies that we're using, of course, it's enhancing our lives in a lot of ways, but it's also really accelerating the dopamine response, which is a stress response once it's really pushed to the max.
Yeah. And to echo that, I got myself into a deep stress response committing to, you know, all these businesses and traveling around the world and going this. And I went and did some testing because I wasn't feeling myself. I was getting burnt out. My brain wasn't as sharp as it. And I was like, something's wrong here. I went over to Matt's place and hooked him up on some brain tech. And he's like, dude, man, you got no electrical activity. So I went and did some testing with my naturopathic doctor. And he's like, look, here's what's happening. Like, you are deficient in these elements. You're using dopamine channels to keep your adrenals going. You're dumping magnesium out of your system like crazy. And you're wearing yourself out. And so we started looking into, you know, all the stuff about stress related to magnesium. And there's a lot of research out there. I guess it's Dr. Leopold Galland is an MD who says, stress increases the amount of this nutrient we lose from our body in urine, leading to a dangerous deficiency. And 99% of the population is starting at a deficient rate. And even just supplementing a little bit of magnesium isn't necessarily what we need in order to be optimized or superhuman, right? It's not like, we're not talking RDAs. We're looking at what makes a person in that superhuman level.
In fact, let's just pick on the RDAs for a second right here. The recommended daily allowance is the U.S. government's recommended daily allowance for these minerals and vitamins. And most governments on the planet have them. They don't agree mostly. And they're mostly based on 1950s science where we didn't understand. They couldn't even spell DNA back then because they didn't know about it when these studies came out. And they studied food grown in the 1950s, which was grown largely on permaculture farms that had nutrients like magnesium in the soil. So the RDA also... I'm 6'4". I only weigh around 200 now instead of 300 pounds. But the RDA for a 90-pound, 90-year-old Asian woman is the same as for me. And I guarantee you she needs more of some things than I need, and I need more of some things than she needs. So the RDA is completely BS. And it's still required to be put on labels, but it is meaningless when it comes to something like magnesium until you know your genetics, you know your gut bacteria, and you know your state. So if you're listening to this and you're saying, but I got enough, you didn't get enough. That's enough to keep you from dying of rickets if you're white.
And that's the value too of biofeedback, which we'll get into as far as magnesium goes. But just to add to what Wade was saying, you know, it's a vicious cycle. So you're stressed out, you lose magnesium, and you feel even more stressed out. And that's what happened to Wade, mm-hmm. which I've also experienced. I actually remember we were on a Zen call, and I asked you.
40 years of Zen, yeah.
And I asked you, I said, hey, Dave, I can't drink coffee anymore. I feel frazzled every time that I do. And I didn't know at the time, but it was a magnesium deficiency the magnesium is critical for the nerves, for the myelin sheet. And every time I would drink coffee, I would just feel frazzled.
Even the lab-tested bulletproof coffee was causing you problems.
Any coffee.
Yeah.
It didn't matter. It was the caffeine response. Yeah. It was the stress caffeine response that was just...
Is that your body couldn't handle it. And it turns out caffeine by itself is shown in studies to have health benefits now, which is kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. But some people, if your adrenals are tweaked, it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Most people though, even in stage 3 adrenal exhaustion, can handle a cup of coffee in the morning and they actually get their life back because it helps to raise cortisol in the morning and their cortisol is all broken. Were you that far? Were you, your cortisol?
I was definitely in that round. And the thing was, is I was relying as coffee to kind of keep me going.
You can't do that.
And I think that's a normal response to a lot of people in the general public. Like, you know what? I'm just going to take a coffee. And then all of a sudden it was like, well, I need another one at noon.
Yeah.
You know, I remember we went to this coffee shop in Panama, Matt and I remember taking a coffee, and then I'm like, I need another one. And then I took the third one, and by that time I'm just like, you know, and I was just like, okay, there's something wrong here because my body's telling me I want more, but I'm feeling like there's a cost here. It was a really interesting state.
I'm not convinced that's caffeine. That's mold.
Yeah.
You drink a cup of moldy coffee, you feel anxiety when you're done, and then you feel tired, and then you want to hit it with another one. So I found when I drank normal coffee before I quit for 5 years, I would just need more and more and more because you drink and then you'd crash, whether it's a half hour, an hour, 2 hours later, and you'd kind of be like, if I don't have more coffee, I'm going to die. When I started drinking it again and came up with the Bulletproof process and all that stuff, I don't get that anymore. And after years, it's like, you know, the same 2-3 cups, and it just doesn't creep up anymore. I truly think that if you're looking at adrenals and you're looking at magnesium, there's something called OTA, ochratoxin A, which is the primary mold toxin that people focus on in coffee. There are other ones present. OTA is a bladder and a kidney toxin that will cause the body to pull water out of your plasma. It'll dehydrate you, and it'll cause you to wash minerals out because the kidney is where you're going to be doing this. So you'll actually dump more magnesium if you're having more toxins present in your coffee, which is why I'm like, when I travel,
quite possible, yeah.
I bring my clean coffee. I brewed it myself, you know, in the hotel room. Actually, I didn't have to. Beverly Hilton has Bulletproof coffee cold brew in the room, so I got to drink one of those. But almost always, even if I'm in China or Panama, I've got my little Bulletproof beans with me because I don't know how to handle it. So I just got to say, watch out for toxins, red wine, almost any grain has OTA in it at different levels depending on time of year, and that's going to increase magnesium dumping. So if you were already stressed, then you're taking coffee that might not have been the cleanest coffee, and you're short in magnesium, so you're doubling down on your dumping of magnesium.
100%.
All right.
Yeah, and so that's where it becomes a vicious cycle. This is the vicious cycle that happens, you know, and so fortunately, as you advocate, is go get your labs done, go get some experts in there, find out what's going on, because even if you're doing what a lot of things are right, there's always areas being a high performer and just kind of giving it all the time. We just have a burn rate that's higher, and we're on that red line a lot more, and you just have to be a little bit more careful. And so,
what labs did you get done?
I did a SpectraCell lab. We did Dutch test. We did Homo IR. We did... let's see, genetic testing.
Oh, you went through the whole.
We did everything.
$5,000 worth of labs.
Yeah, we did. Okay. Yeah, I just did it all.
All right.
And you know, it became pretty self-evident what was going on. It's like, okay. Now,
most people listening don't have $5,000 to drop on labs. So you can get your magnesium tested, though. You can get red blood cell magnesium.
Mm-hmm.
And you got that. Did you get any other magnesium tests?
Well, just to jump in, it is very difficult to actually test magnesium because it tends to go into the tissues, to the cells. So, so blood tests for magnesium is probably one of the least effective blood tests you can do compared to other minerals and tests of hormones and stuff.
I agree. So you can't really know a good deficiency there.
Yeah. But the biofeedback, which we'll get more into, I think is a better indicator of your magnesium load in the body, which again, if you're stressed out, and we'll get into a bunch of studies later in the recording, there's definitely some correlation between anxiety and magnesium deficiencies.
Oh, a huge one.
Yeah. The Mayo Clinic was talking about the long-term activation of the stress response and chronic overexposure to cortisol and other stress hormones. I was actually going through an extremely stressful business situation with a former partner of mine that was also driving the engine. But what they talked about, it puts you at increased risk of a whole bunch of health conditions, including anxiety, depression, digestive health problems, headaches, heart disease, sleep problems, weight gain, memory and concentration impairment, and so much more. And
this is chronic stress doing that.
Yeah. And okay. I'm not an anxious kind of guy.
No,
but I was waking up feeling anxious.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, this is never, like, I've never had that experience in my entire life. And it was a shocking, as they say, come to Jesus moment. It's like, okay, you need to pay attention here. What's going on?
Something with biohacking that's just worth noting, because you guys are longtime biohackers and you come to the biohacking conference. And this is a quote from one of my friends who went through 40 years of Zen. And he's like, Dave, with this Bulletproof stuff, you can move the wall out quite a lot, but there still is a wall. And because it's moved out so far, you'll be going faster when you hit it. right?
That's a really good analogy.
Isn't it?
It really is.
And this happens to a lot of people, but you're like, I've never actually run at full speed before because you'd always hit the wall before you got up to full speed. So managing your stress becomes more important if you're a high performer. And this isn't 100%. Something that is talked about a lot in the world of stress. And I was like, oh, I'm so stressed. What am I going to do? And you're like, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm in good shape. You know, I'm kicking ass, but what's going on now? And it's because you're kicking ass that you became more aware when you hit the wall.
I think the more ass you want to kick, the more you need to be concerned with recovery, rejuvenation. And that's where a lot of the biohacking technologies come in. This is also where magnesium comes in. Like I'm on the road right now for a 12-day trip. You know, I went floating. I went to the labs. I did acupuncture. You know, I'm loading up on magnesium. All these things will manage the stress. Because, you know, traveling is stressful. Business is stressful. You know, but we need to be able to have a resilience. And really, if we look at it from an athletic metaphor, you know, athletes, there's a direct correlation between the amount of training they can do and the recovery.
Yep.
If you want to train really hard and achieve incredible performance, you need to recover really deep. So to me, an entrepreneur, we're like athletes for the mind, right? If we look at just the way we push our brains, we push our nervous systems, it's the same thing. We need to make sure that we're recovering at all times.
So you guys got really into magnesium, which is so tied to enzymes throughout the body, and you're experts in enzymes, and it's tied to our stress response specifically. I want to ask you about my favorite test for magnesium sufficiency. You take magnesium supplements and you take a normal dose, and if they don't give you the runs, you take a double dose, you're deficient. And if you take a triple dose, you're really deficient. You take a quadruple dose, you're really deficient. So the world's first biofeedback is disaster pants. So,
well, just to jump in on that, there are certain magnesiums that do pull in more waters than others.
That is true.
So that is one thing. But yeah, we can get into, I guess, how we fixed ourselves. And
yeah,
you know, there was a real convergence of three different people that told us about their magnesium protocol. One was Charles Poliquin at the Bulletproof Conference a couple years ago.
I actually dedicated Game Changers to Charles. He just passed.
Yeah. He was a really special man.
And what was fascinating about, I remember that specific, which was one of the best talks I saw at Bulletproof. He was just such a wealth of information. And what funny, when I went through this and we started looking at this, it triggered in my head, I remember that talk, and he talked about the different types of magnesium that he would use in specific for specific organs and also for specific athletes, depending on what their drain was. So there was different magnesiums for your heart, some for your brain, some for your muscles. And I had never heard that level of differentiation, and why he said it was one of the number one supplements that he used with all of his Olympic athletes. And he had so many different gold medals. They're like 27 or 30. It's some ridiculous number of gold medals in different events. And I remember seeing that. I was like, I'd never heard of that. And of course, interesting enough, wasn't that long after that I ran into that. So it's kind of like my RAS picked up something that I discovered, you know, 6 months later. It's like, we need to dive deep in this, Matt, and figure this whole thing out. Because I went out and started buying all these magnesiums. So I found out there's all different kinds of magnesiums, and I started buying, you know, all of a sudden I had this whole cupboard full of different magnesiums. I'm taking this for this and this for this and this for that. So it got pretty complicated, and we decided to go as deep as we could in this kind of endeavor.
Beautiful.
But so Charles talked about his protocol, which was, 2 to 5 grams of magnesium with 10 to 25 grams of fish oil a day. And there seems to be a synergy between fish oil and magnesium, which I think as far as rebuilding the myelin sheath and healing the nervous system, there seems to be some really powerful synergies. Also, Mercola talked about the same type of protocol, magnesium and fish oils to deal with the EMF.
Yep.
And then a good friend of ours, Clayton, he's not a publicly known figure, but he's probably one of the highest level of consciousness human beings we've ever met. And one of the interesting things, there seems to be, when your level of consciousness gets really up there, if you've read David Hawkins' work, you know, in the high 500s and beyond, that there's a real, it burns up the nervous system. And, you know, we've been to Zen, I've been to Zen 5 times. Yeah. And a good friend of ours,
By the way, just if you're listening and you don't know Zen, 40 Years of Zen is a 5-day intensive neurofeedback program, a company that I started and that I've used on my own brain. You've been there 5 times.
Going to 6 soon.
Yeah, just for, I don't want people who hear that go, what the heck is going to Zen?
And just go if you haven't been to Zen, it's awesome. But a good friend of ours, Tony, he has very high gamma waves. And we saw that when he increases his gamma, that his nervous system would kind of get frazzled. Like it's a very intense brainwave. It's a very fast, rapid brain wave that seems to stress the nervous system. So even, you know, from a spiritual perspective, I think that when you're really high level consciousness, that you're burning up a lot of magnesium. And we've all heard the stories of Eckhart Tolle and even David Hawkins, that when they kind of had that huge leap, that they were sitting on a park bench for 3 years, or Hawkins moved to Sedona and right. sold manure for 7 years. Mm-hmm. So to see, that's literally what he did. So it seems that there is a correlation between high level consciousness and burning magnesium, or just any stress response. And it seems that gamma is very intense, and it takes a while for the nervous system to adapt.
But it takes huge amounts of energy to enter any of the altered states of high performance that our brains are capable of. And you don't make ATP without magnesium. So what I found at 40 Years of Zen, we have very advanced spiritual people will just naturally come to the program and we'll help them tune it. But there's a reason there's an executive chef there and a wall of supplements, because I can't do that in 5 days for anyone's brain until they're fully tuned. And if they're magnesium deficient, you simply won't make the same brainwaves you can make when your cells work. And you look at how fast can you run, or how big of a brainwave can you make? It's the same thing. It's an electron. Did you have enough of them, and could you direct them where you wanted to, like a professional? And that makes everything, including being an Olympic athlete, sound a little easier, because number one is energy production. Number two is ability to focus the energy to do what you want. And if you're missing this key thing, and since magnesium is such a foundational element for everything, yeah, you're going to suck at meditation, you're going to suck at relaxing, you're going to suck at recovery, and you're going to suck at running too, if you're deficient in it.
Yeah, and as far as getting it from food, it is difficult to find food with magnesium, as you were alluding to, the way food is farmed, and there's not that much magnesium left in the soil compared to what it used to be. And it's also difficult to absorb orally to a certain degree. So we do need, in our opinion, to supplement enough of it.
Well, you don't even have to say in your opinion. Look, if you're of the mindset that, oh, I'm going to get all of my nutrients from food, I don't know what planet you're living on, but it's not this one, because there's two core things going on. Number one, food is depleted in minerals compared to what it was. The higher levels of CO2 cause food to have less minerals than it did before, because it grows faster, so it has less time to pull it out of the soil. And if you only get your minerals from your foods, clearly you should only get your toxins and your stressors from Mother Nature as well. So if you're living in the Garden of Eden, if you could just drop your GPS coordinates, I'll drop another million people who are going to move there right after you and deplete your soil. So no, if you're not taking supplements, you're doing it wrong, and you're going to die of a degenerative disease sooner than if you don't. And that is just the facts of life today.
I agree 100%. I mean, we're all transhumanists here to different degrees. And, you know, supplements are like the first level of transhumanism. You know, we're using science and technology.
No, they're not. Blankets are the first transhumanist technology.
Yeah.
Well, we use the technology enough to stay warm. Oh my God, we're all transhumanists because we're all constantly using technology to be better.
Exactly. And supplements are part of that. You know, so I mean, we're all born to peak in our 20s and early 30s and then start slowly degrading and dying. And that's what I love about your book, Superhuman. You did a great job of basically laying out tools and a roadmap to extend our peak, extend our prime, and hack this biological condition we're all born with, which is called aging and death.
It's one of those things that we're all going to deal with. And I would really first focus on reducing suffering before you die. That's that in Superhuman. The first thing to do to live a long time is don't die. There's these four things that are likely to kill you. Yeah. And all of them are tied to chronic inflammation, which is tied to chronic stress. And many of them are tied to deficiencies of one sort or another, including magnesium. And long-time listeners, people have been following the blog for 7-8 years. If you go back and you look at the blog post, top 10 supplements to live longer, which is a very old post, but one that's still heavily trafficked, By the way, it's on daveasprey.com. I put a lot of the original content that wasn't about coffee and collagen on just my own site with all my books and all that. So if you guys haven't had a chance to check out daveasprey.com, you should hit it up. But in that post, magnesium and vitamin D are the top two that are up there. And now at this point, I've added A and K, as you have to take those with vitamin D. We didn't even know that 8 years ago. But magnesium's at the top.
Yep.
You guys have focused on getting the right form. And to be super transparent about this, Bulletproof makes supplements. We have some great mitochondrial optimization stuff. There is no way that I'm going to make every supplement on the planet. My job is to find the cool stuff that works and to talk about it. And if I make some stuff, great. But we don't make a magnesium because I feel like there's other magnesiums out there. There's many bottles of it. But you guys have gone to the trouble of putting together a well thought through stack. And this is something that is actually a market gap right now. So you just filled it.
Yeah. And again, because we, as Wade was alluding to, we were taking, you know, it was a lot of different pills.
Oh, yeah.
Let's put it that way. It was a lot of different types of magnesium. So what we decided to do is to combine them all in one pill, including the cofactor.
This isn't going to be one pill. I mean, one type of pill. Magnesium is a giant molecule. And for people who don't like taking pills, here's the deal. There is no way if someone says you can have one a day, you cannot fit enough magnesium in one pill to be sufficient.
Yeah.
And not to mention all the other stuff that allegedly is in your one pill a day. So that's mostly decorative, the one pill a day things. I simply don't believe in those. I really want them to be true. But until we have that Fred Flintstone, I may be dating myself, image where, actually, no, this is the Jeffersons, one of the first science fiction cartoons.
Yeah, I love that.
They're saying, I'm going to have a steak. So the guy gets out a tiny little pill, sets it on this giant plate, and then cuts it with a knife, and it turns into a steak.
Yeah.
Until we can do that in a thing, your magnesium formula is not going to be one pill.
Exactly. Really cool. No. When I say one pill, I mean, we've just put all of the different magnesiums in
so you can open
formula.
One bottle.
One yeah. bottle.
Okay, so. There we go. Yeah.
So let's go through the different magnesiums and what they do. First, there's a magnesium chelate, which is really important for muscle building, recovery, and health. So for people that work out, it's a great magnesium. Then there's magnesium citrate, which seems to help with obesity. One study found that this form really helped with arterial stiffness in healthy overweight individuals. And Wade, maybe you talk about...
What's a healthy overweight individual?
I don't know. We have to ask the study. The guys did the study, but...
Sounds like military intelligence.
I love oxymorons. Wade, what did you talk about when you did the magnesium IVs in Bali yeah. and your theory around magnesium and calcium?
Yeah, it was really interesting. So of course, hey, let's biohack this. We've got a magnesium deficiency. I was in Bali, Indonesia, and I had a naturopathic friend who was cool with giving me intravenous magnesium. And so we would go up to 20 grams, which is about the threshold dosage that you can do.
You get flushing from that.
You get a lot more than flushing. You get a lot of things. So when you take that, and I don't recommend starting at 20, you kind of...
It could actually kill you.
Yeah. So you kind of go up and you have a medical professional to monitor. Yeah. This is not something you do in your basement. And you kind of bring it on. And first off, there's a general relaxed sense that you hit. And I remember the first time and I was like, I just went to a level of chilled out. I was like, oh man, this is great. And then the next thing that happened was really fascinating is, you know, muscles where I have kind of calcium deposits from, you know, 35 years of lifting heavy inanimate objects were literally starting to burn. And mm-hmm. I believe that the magnesium was starting to bond with the calcium and just dissolve these things. And I would also feel it inside my brain as well, calcium deposits in my brain. I'd feel like hot points inside of my brain. I was like,
and this is why do you think those were not just mitochondrial activation
could
versus
have been.
Calcium?
It could have been, but what I noticed is afterwards because I did several treatments of this, I had improved rotation in my shoulders. I felt more flexible. So I was seeing a difference where these adhesions had kind of broken down. Could very well have been mitochondria in the brain. I mean,
or just a relaxation anti-inflammatory response. Yeah. The reason I'm a little skeptical there is I don't have good data that says that these forms of magnesium are going to chelate calcium specifically. There is a calcium magnesium ratio in the body that you need to maintain. Most people have way too much calcium, which is, I think you're about to go there with that. But I don't believe that magnesium by itself will go in and displace calcium in most of those bonds. I don't think there's enough energy to do that unless you guys have some data I don't have.
Yeah, all this is anecdotal.
I think it's inflammation-based, not calcium-based, but I could be wrong. All right, so keep going.
So the next one is magnesium biglycinate or glycinate. It's pretty much the same thing. This one's used to treat different things such as upset stomach, heartburn. It's also really good for sleep. It's a good product to take before sleep. It'll help induce quicker, faster sleep. Magnesium malate, which some people believe is the most bioavailable form, can help with migraines, chronic pain, and depression. Magnesium L-threonate, which you serve at Zen, 40 Years of Zen. It's a really good one for the brain.
That was my favorite.
Yeah, it's really good.
I take it every night.
I really like that one.
Yep, short-term memory, long-term memory. Mm-hmm. Magnesium taurate, which is the best one for your heart. One study noted that the complex magnesium taurate may thus have considerable potential as a vascular protective supplement. And then finally, magnesium orotate, which is helpful also for the heart, believed to be the best one for metabolic improvements. So again, it's another really good one for people that work out. But the other thing too is cofactors, so B6, manganese, and we've added monoatomic elements, some humic fulvic minerals to help the absorption, because again, you know, magnesium doesn't exist in a vacuum. So that's what we put together, and we can get into a bunch of different studies. But we maybe talk about the protocol that you did to heal your nervous system and your brain and your whole stress response.
Before we do that protocol, I want to comment on your list here. So you hit chelate, and then we've got citrate, bisglycinate, malate, threonate, taurate, and orotate.
Correct.
People ask me all the time, Dave, what kind of magnesium should I take? And my answer is, you want as many of the ones that end in eight as you can get. And you guys have all of them, including the rarest one, probably. Most people don't understand orotate at all. Mm-hmm. And people who are fans of bulletproof supplements know that I make zinc and copper orotate formula, because orotate absorbs very differently and better than a lot of other forms. So the fact that you guys got that obscure form, orotate, in there is I think really noteworthy, that this is a really complete formula. I can tell you, I have not found in the entire time I've been using supplements, 25 plus years, a single formula that has all these in it. So this is useful.
That's why we did it. I mean, our
time saving.
Our philosophy at Bioptimizer is either we're the first in class, meaning we're the first guys to produce this type of product, or we're the best in class. And with magnesium, we just felt it was an opportunity to create something superior.
Yep. There isn't a product like this I've ever found. So to get all seven forms of it in a pill is, or in a handful of pills. How many do you take, by the way?
Well, let's get into the dosage. In our opinion, especially again, if you're fried and a little burnt out, doing a 90-day loading phase, probably starting with a gram a day to 2 grams to 3 grams. Because, if you step up, what we found is that your gut biome won't get disaster pants. If you just jump right to like 4 or 5 grams a day,
you're not going to like your life.
Yeah. You might have some challenges.
In divided dosages is better as well. And so for me, when I started that whole routine, I started at 2 grams and then I scaled right up to 6 before I got any
You were run. Deficient. Wow.
Yeah. Really bad. So, and I did that and, I do a gram in the morning and then another gram, later in the day, another one. And so it literally took 6 grams for me to start. That's when I hit. And so just using like what they did in orthomolecular nutrition with Hoffer and Pauling and all those guys, I believe that one of the biohacks that I've always been into is take up to the point where you hit tolerance and then titrate down. Yeah. And then if you get the runs again, then you titrate down again. And so for me, it took a few months. We went from 6 and then it went down to 5. And then, now I still take 3 grams a day and with no side effects other than I feel great and feel relaxed. And I can now have coffee again. I can have a coffee every now. Like last time we talked, we were on the show.
Yeah.
I wasn't having coffee because I was in the middle of that recovery cycle. Now, just a few weeks ago, I actually got to have my first coffee and didn't have any of the negative responses and stuff. Again. And so that was great. So I've
been able to go to drinking coffee daily again and have no issues. So yeah, I think magnesium, just to share an anecdotal story that what I experienced, I got to a point where I was literally in a Zen mode, like all the time. Like my nervous system had so much magnesium that like literally I hit a level of Zen and chill that I probably never hit. And it was kind of like all the time, which was interesting.
Everyone's talking about red light therapy beds, and for good reason. There's a company called ARRC LED that's building an entirely new class of LED devices. ARRC LED beds integrate proprietary scanning technology and frequency protocols to shape the delivery of six different wavelengths in dose-optimized photobiomodulation. Yes, that's a lot of words. What it is, though, is that photobiomodulation improves the underlying energetics of the cells in your body. And those changes can benefit nearly every tissue and organ and system in your body. You change your cells and you change your life. For more information, visit ARRCLED.com.
Do you guys worry about disrupting the calcium-magnesium ratio? I mean, you need two calciums for every one magnesium. And I mean, most people, they're way calcified. There's free calcium floating around. EMFs make it way worse. But if you're supplementing 6 grams a day for long periods of time, are you going to go upside down and actually be calcium deficient?
There's a possibility, and that's why you got to run your labs regularly and pay attention to what's going on. Check your bone density tests. Like, I know you have some tests. And what's interesting is with this, that was another Anna thing on the DEXA scan. My bone density actually went up.
Yeah.
And it was a 3% increase. And I have high bone density as it is because I've been lifting weights for so long. And so the practitioner in Vancouver, Canada is like, wow, we don't usually see that in, you know, middle-aged men, their bone density going up unless they're doing something different. I could see someone who was untrained moving into maybe one of your bone density training programs or something like that. But I was a...
You're already in great shape, so you should add dense bones.
Yeah.
Yeah, magnesium is part of the matrix in the bones. It makes total sense. If you were deficient, your body's going to take it out of the bones for metabolic processes. There's this amazing graceful degradation. So in the body, there's a distributed system that has a list of most important for survival processes. And it's stack ranked. And so if there's only enough magnesium, it goes in the first one. And if there's enough, it goes to the second. And then if there's enough, it goes to the third. It's not evenly spread across these things. It's a very elegant, well-controlled system. And we don't know that entire list, but your body knows. And it does that calculation the same way that a distributed system does. And that there isn't like one master thing in your brain going, I know the list. It's that it's like having a quadrillion little computers working at once on solving the problem. And what comes out is the stack ranked list.
And your body is very smart and has this massive supply of calcium in the bone. And we can grab calcium as needed. And one of the ways we know that is when people drink like lemon water, which is super acidic. If you do a pH test, your pH test goes up.
Well, I thought it was alkaline. It says it's alkalizing right there on the bottle.
Yeah. Mm. Which, you know, if you understand science, we understand what's happening. Your body is using buffers and calcium from the bone and other parts of the body to buffer the acid. So, you know, as far as being concerned, I think what Wade said, as far as doing a DEXA scan, is probably the best way to make sure that your bone density is not going down. But again, we have this massive supply of calcium in the body, so we're not too concerned.
It's not something, especially if you're taking your vitamin D and your vitamin K, it's not something that I worry about too much. But I do think it's worth talking about. I don't believe you can do really bad things except for diarrhea if you're taking it orally. But there are a few cases, usually parents who are giving kids enemas with magnesium sulfate or Epsom salts. You can die. Like you can actually disrupt the electroactivity in the cells from too much intravenous or rectal, but probably not oral, at least not that I'm aware of. But the doses we're talking about here are not those kinds of doses. And if you're soaking in you know, a flotation tank like the one I've got at home, you're unlikely to do that unless you pickle yourself for, you know, 72 hours of straight floating without drinking anything. But these are relatively safe. In the overall scheme of all the things you could do, including eating, you know, 16 bowls of kale, I would say is worse than overdosing on magnesium. I just wanted to call that out, though, just because magnesium is good for you. If you were to only take magnesium, be calcium deficient for a very, very long period of time, or you were to do a dose that gets past the gut via some other technology, there could be risks. But man, if we're worried about that, let's talk about potassium. That stuff will kill you way faster than magnesium, right? So I think this is one of those things where pushing it, you'll know when you push it too far because your gut's going to tell you. So I think this is a nice, safe, and very important supplement for people to take.
Yeah, we can talk about what the benefits are. Like what can you expect from it? And what's amazing with magnesium, we know it's involved in 300 different metabolic processes. So we really see improvements on just about every part of the body, starting with even blood sugar. So it helps move blood sugar into your muscles and dispose of lactate, which can help build up during exercise and cause pain. So you can see an exercise performance on that component. We've seen improvements with athletes, elderly. We've seen volleyball players be able to improve their jumping and arm movement. We've seen athletes who were cycling and swimming improve their performance. And they also had reductions in insulin and stress response. So magnesium can help with fat loss. Again, it's not a fat loss supplement, but it can really help.
Well, if you make more ATP, if your body's better at turning food into energy, magically you're going to accumulate less fat. It's just how it works. Mm-hmm. So,
and of course, one of probably the biggest ones is around mood. So low levels have been linked to increased risk of depression. It's also been shown to reduce symptoms of depression, and the results sometimes can be really dramatic. It's also been used and to be as effective as antidepressant drugs, but only 450 milligrams with different people who suffered from depression. So, you know, from all these different aspects, it's just incredible. Even diabetes, one study followed more than 4,000 people for 20 years and found those with the highest magnesium levels were 47% less likely to develop diabetes. People with type 2 diabetes taking high doses of magnesium each day experience significant improvement in blood sugar and hemoglobin 1A1C levels compared to a control group. Even blood pressure has been improved. We've seen improvements in CRP and other inflammatory markers. So, you know, migraines, like I said, it almost improves just about every part of your physiology.
And all of those reasons are why it is the number one on my list of things you've got to take, just not even to live forever, but just to function really well. Some of the things that you haven't mentioned, though, that I think are most noteworthy is just muscle cramps. Mm-hmm. So I used to wake up as a kid and I'd have these horrible, painful cramps in my calves. It was like someone had just kicked me, and I didn't know what to do about it. So I'd, you know, try to go back to sleep, but it was real pain. And it turns out, well, I'm living in a basement that has toxic mold, which causes all sorts of mineral dumping. So I was already deficient and it puts a load on the kidneys and I wasn't taking magnesium. So I just thought this was a normal thing that happened when you slept. I haven't had a leg cramp in 20 years because I take my magnesium.
Brings up something too, because when I was going through the stressful period, it turns out I was living in a building that had mold, the only thing. And so and I had moved to that building and I had been in a pretty optimal space before and didn't do the mold testing before I went in there. And then all of a sudden, I think that might've been a contributing factor to the dumping of the magnesium.
It makes so much sense. Just the whole stress response, the amount of stress you can handle if you live in a moldy environment or work in one, it's 10% of what you could normally have. Mm-hmm. And if you guys have probably seen Moldy Movie, the documentary I did on this.
Yeah.
So moldymovie.com, it's free. You can just go watch it. You guys should go watch this movie. It's 1 hour. There's a dozen experts and people like us who are high performing people, including a husband and wife couple who are both doctors who moved into a moldy house. So this is affecting 100 million structures in the US right now.
Wow.
So yeah, if you live in mold, you're going to need your magnesium. But if you don't live in mold, you're going to need your magnesium. And now it makes a lot more sense. So you're running at your top speed, you're an entrepreneur, you're in a stressful situation, and then the biological environmental stress gets dumped in on top of that, and the systems all go haywire. That makes so much sense.
Yeah, it was a perfect storm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Speaking of stress, we know that, you know, stress can lead to elevated levels of cortisol, which can lead to belly fat. But, you know, as we were doing research for this product, we found a really interesting study that was done in 2015 that found that one stressful event can lower your metabolism. And, you know, they found that women were burning 104 fewer calories in a 7-hour period. So
this is what kind of stress? Like emotional stress, chronic
stress?
Yeah,
any type of stressful event.
Like lifting weights?
Probably, maybe. I don't know. It's an interesting question. I mean, obviously, we know that lifting weights will increase metabolism. It's first
It's also a stressor. Any heavy exercise is a stressor. Any virus is a stressor. A fight with your boyfriend, husband, yeah, wife, so it, whatever it is.
Yes, all of, well,
I think one of the interesting things today is the stress that we're getting today is not coming from what are biological systems. It's not a saber-toothed tiger tearing us. It's not like another tribe trying to kill us.
Yeah.
They're often what I call psychic stresses because of this extension into this whole digital realm. And I think what's interesting is right now our definition of how we want to live or how humans have lived in the past doesn't really apply to the way the world is today and how we respond to that. And that's why I think biohacking is becoming so prevalent with high performers, is because they understand that we are not living in the world of grandma and grandma. We're being subjected to so much more information, so much more where we're making decision-making. You see thousands of advertisements, you're making decisions, you're reading thousands of different messages that are coming on your computer, and there can be responses to that we normally we'd be actually physically moving and doing something, but here we're just sitting here at our desk or doing whatever. And I think that's the real killer too. We don't have those natural mechanisms of movement.
There's a new recent study that's making the rounds in media where they're talking about people under 25 and the prevalence of anxiety, like diagnosable anxiety and depression. It's almost half of them. Mm-hmm. And it's because we have these ancient threat detection systems looking for tigers. But when you're young, you haven't developed the wisdom and the resilience that comes from realizing, oh, those aren't tigers on Facebook. Because it feels like it's a tiger.
Right.
Someone criticizes you when you're 15 or when you're 20.
Correct.
And I think that's why biohacking is taking off so much with people who are under 25. Because they're saying, well, I don't like feeling this anxiety, this depression. So I think even though my mom and dad might not take magnesium, I'm going to go take my magnesium. I'm going to change my sleep. I'm going to get an Oura ring. I'm going to do all the different things because it sucks to feel stressed all the time. And people are just saying, I don't want to do that anymore. And certainly that was what drove me as the beginning. I didn't want to be fat. I didn't want to be in pain. I didn't want to be stressed and act like a jerk all the time. So I feel like it's becoming more of interest to younger people, which is also surprising because the data that I have from people who bought Superhuman, this is a book on how to live to 180. It doesn't matter how old you are, you start applying it. It's just easier to do it when you're young and it costs less. And the number of people who are saying, I'm interested. If you went back 20 years, you would have said no one under 40 would have touched a book like that. But now it's actually become of interest because people are saying, I don't want this kind of crap anymore. Like, I'm done with it. So I think you guys are going to find there's a lot of people who are saying, you know, I'm 24 and I decided to invest in magnesium or any of these other biohacking things, or they're already drinking bulletproof coffee, but they're saying the things that give me more return on what I put in. So if I spend a dollar on whatever food, whatever technology, whatever supplement, did I get way more than a dollar's worth of energy and sensation mm-hmm. from it? We're starting to wake up. It doesn't really matter how it tastes if it makes you feel like crap, right? That was 1970s thinking. And mm-hmm. now it better make me feel good and it better taste good. And from a supplement, well, you know, I better be able to take it and feel a difference, or maybe I don't want to take it because I have a limited budget and limited time. And most people aren't going to swallow 150 supplements a day like I do. And I don't know if you guys are up to that number, but you're pretty close.
we're in. You know, and then that's part of our job as, you know, kind of thought leaders in the industry is like, we need to push the envelopes. We need to rev the engines and find out what goes wrong. And then, you know, kind of report back for people in America. That's kind of our responsibility and why we do what we do. I mean, I'm hardwired this way. You're hardwired. This is math. We're all hardwired to kind of keep, you know, moving the evolutionary chain, I think. And, you know, sometimes you hit the curb and learn, and sometimes you crash and burn. But the good news is the technology is now present to rebuild ourselves. So we're all living kind of the $6 million man dream. If you remember that movie back in the day, we have the technology and here we are right here in Beverly Hills where, yeah, guess what? You can come into the labs, get your testing, do some stuff and start optimizing yourself for the new world because we are not living in the world of our ancestors.
I wonder how many people listening remember the $6 million man. Are we dating ourselves?
We're totally dating ourselves, but you know, I think it's okay.
Okay, I'm in my 40s, by the way. I just celebrated earlier this week my 26% birthday.
That's great.
I'm doing it in percentages now, so it barely changes.
That's awesome.
But if you're not familiar with this was one of my favorite TV shows when I was under 10 probably, and Lee Majors starred in it, And it was this guy gets in a horrible car accident, so they spend $6 million, which, by the way, is the amount I made and lost in my 20s. and they spent $6 million upgrading him, and they put in these...
Which was a fantastic amount of money.
Oh, it was enough to, like, yell, right? You know, rule the world. and they replaced his skeleton way before they had adamantium and Wolverine, and every time he moved, they'd make this, like...
Bionic sound.
Yeah. That was a cool thing. And then 2 years later, like, where's the Bionic Woman? So then she came out in her own series. And these were some of the first transhumanist TV shows that weren't some like weird sci-fi kind of things. And even back then, sci-fi was mostly spaceships. It wasn't like, oh, now we're half robots. So this was very much thought leadership and way better than chips.
Yeah, we're basically using technology to combat technology, if that makes sense. You know, we have all these stressors, and most people wake up, the typical person wakes up, they go right pretty much into a fight or flight response. They might pull up their phone and see 20 alerts and, you know, go right into that beta brain response.
If you wake up and, like me, you leave your phone on airplane mode until your kids drop off, how many less of the capsules of magnesium do you have to take if you leave your phone on airplane mode for a while when you wake up?
Probably one. No, that's the way to do it. I mean, and of course, you've learned to manage your stress response, and that's one of the big benefits of 40 years of Zen. You really learn to control your brain and your brain waves, because, you know, beta brain waves, which are pretty fast, is pretty stressful state of mind to just live in all the time. Like I said, most people wake up, they go right into that, they stay in that all day, and then once they're exhausted, they pass out, and then they wake up and repeat. So they're in a kind of constant low level of fight or flight. And one of the things we want to do as human beings, as biohackers, is modulate and manage our nervous system. And that's where magnesium comes in. It's one of the best tools to combat that and spend a little more time in parasympathetic, which is kind of the healing side of the nervous system.
It's a tough challenge. If you look at it, on one hand, if you're in beta, that's for sports performance. It's for running away from a tiger.
It's for businesses.
It's for a fight, right? Mm-hmm. Now, there's the relaxed and alert sort of alpha state where you can go into beta when you need to, but you're aware and you're paying attention. And this is a lot of the targeting of what we're training at 40 Years Zen is alpha, but that's not all it is. But then if you've had too much chronic stress or specifically traumas when you were younger or even just a car accident when you're older, it can kick you into this daydreamy theta state. So I see a lot of people come in and they're so stressed that they can't come out of a daydream. And you look at their brainwaves and they're sort of, you know, floaty a lot. They're less able to function in the world. And if you kick them, they'll go into beta, but then they'll drop right down into theta. So they're kind of just sort of floating through life and they don't want to be doing that. But it's a combination of low energy. They don't have enough energy to kick themselves up. And it's a combination of trauma. So whatever energy they have is driving them to look for tigers that aren't tigers. So they just sort of, their nervous system kind of gives up. I firmly believe that when you get your supplementation stack right, your energy levels go up and you can pull yourself out of that floaty daydream state, which, by the way, was my default mode as a young person. And then it would be either like daydream or fight. Daydream or fight. And so that path of evolution is to teach yourself to be able to go to the daydreaming state, which is where creativity and intuition happen, to be able to function where you can look there and go there when you need to and go into a beta state when you need to, but generally be alert and relaxed and functioning. You will not do that if you have lots of toxins in your body or you have basic mineral deficiencies because your body can't make the energy to do it. Like it makes so much sense. It's just rational Western science cause effect stuff like that. And that's why you fix your body, you fix your biology, and then you do your personal development work. But if you say, I'm going to go meditate and I can't make electrons to meditate, you're kind of wasting your time. So I think you guys just hit the first one on the list.
I would call magnesium the master mineral, really. It's a precursor to so many different reactions inside the body that it just augments so many different functions that I think when people take it, they start to feel it, especially if they're taking a properly balanced one where you're getting all the ones, because people don't know they might be specifically deficient in the magnesium in their heart or their magnesium in their brain. And so they could take a magnesium supplement, kind of a standard one, and not get the specific magnesium they need for their particular body and how they're draining their reserves.
Well, I appreciate you guys coming in and sponsoring today's episode. And just, you know, full disclosure here, I have been on magnesium for 20 plus years. It's one of my must-have minerals. I take it every morning and I take it every night. And I have been unable to find a form that has all of the stuff in it that you guys have in here, which is why I'm super happy to, you know, support your form. What are you calling your new form? I have the beta bottle of it.
It's called the Magnesium Breakthrough.
Oh, Magnesium
and,
Breakthrough.
And we have a very special deal for all the listeners. If you go to magbreakthrough.com/Dave, you will get a 10% discount code. The discount code is Dave10. So MAG, breakthrough.com/Dave. And I think the discount code's already automatically applied.
I think if you go to /Dave, you guys auto apply it.
/Dave.
But here's the deal. You guys really should be taking magnesium. And I recommend this form because it's got all of the forms in it that I know about. And that is likely to work better than just taking one form or two forms. And I've right now, before this product, I would open 5 bottles. And if I've never posted a picture because I don't want people copying exactly what I take, because as a former 300 pounder with autoimmune disease as a kid and mold exposure and all that stuff, most people who copied what I do that's been customized for me would not like the way they felt. So it's more about here's how to customize your own stack. Magnesium has to be in your stack for pretty much, I can't think of a person who shouldn't be on magnesium unless there's some weird kidney thing going on. So you've got to do this, and this is a superior way to get your magnesium to anything else I can think of. The other two ways that are of benefit that you don't have in here, one is you can spray magnesium oil, which is magnesium chloride, on your skin. It'll absorb. You can soak in Epsom salts. Mm-hmm. Both of those are a little bit less convenient for travel and at home, and they won't do everything that's in Magnesium Breakthrough. So yeah, just as a logical guy, this is good stuff.
Yeah, finally, because I tried the sprays for a long time. I just couldn't spray enough to get the benefit.
I got a rash sometimes. You have to cover yourself in this oily stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's also possible to use magnesium chloride as a supplement. And you didn't put it in here, which is a good thing, because too much magnesium chloride orally can kill you, just like too much potassium chloride. Mm-hmm. So those are forms that are best topical. So I just think this is well formulated. It's necessary. So I'm happy that you came on the show. Thanks for giving listeners a discount.
Go to magbreakthrough.com/Dave. Enter coupon code Dave10 and get 10% off your purchase.
Mm-hmm. All
right. Thanks, guys. I'm not going to ask you my normal questions because you've both already answered them before. We know that you think you're going to live longer than me, and we've agreed that we're going to wrestle when we're 180 to see who's going to live longer. All right. Have an awesome day. If you guys like the show, you learned some new stuff about magnesium, do me a favor. Go get some magnesium. And this is good stuff. And if you decide, I don't want to get the stuff, that's fine. Like, get some magnesium of some sort, and it's fine. All I can tell you is you're not going to get it from some goddamn beans or kale or anything else when you get these so-called nutrition experts saying, eat these whatevers because they're packed with so-and-so. No, they're not. Only if the soil is packed with it, and the soil will only be packed with it if animals crapped on the soil. And these damn vegans keep taking animal poop away from my vegetables. I don't know what to do about that. All I know is there's no magnesium in your food to speak of. You have no idea how much is in the head of cauliflower or broccoli you got today versus yesterday. You must supplement not just with magnesium, but with all of the minerals, or you're not going to like your life. And this is the best way that I know of to get your magnesium.
A Human Upgrade, formerly Bulletproof Radio, was created and is hosted by Dave Asprey. The information contained in this podcast is provided for informational purposes only and is not intended for the purposes of diagnosing, treating, curing, or preventing any disease. Before using any products referenced on the podcast, consult with your healthcare provider, carefully read all labels, and heed all directions and cautions that accompany the products. Information found or received through the podcast should not be used in place of a consultation or advice from a healthcare provider. If you suspect you have a medical problem, or should you have any healthcare questions, please promptly call or see your healthcare provider. This podcast, including Dave Asprey and the producers, disclaim responsibility for any possible adverse effects from the use of information contained herein. Opinions of guests are their own, and this podcast does not endorse or accept responsibility for statements made by guests. This podcast does not make any representations or warranties about guest qualifications or credibility. This podcast may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products or services. Individuals on this podcast may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to herein. This podcast is owned by Bulletproof Media.